Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Some people have said that New York's right, its mandate for shelter, is a draw for people to come here, and they've called on it to either be paused or rescinded. Would you support anything like that?
Yes, I would, because the original premise behind the right to shelter was started as for homeless men on the streets, people who are experiencing AIDS. Then it was expanded to families. That is the right thing to do. But never was it envisioned that this would be an unlimited, universal right or obligation on the city to have to house literally the entire world.
I'm going to warn y'all today. I'm going to warn y'all. So that's Kathy Hochul, governor of New York. And she's complaining about the migrants. That's the phrase that the government uses. But it's actually really, it's the illegal immigrants coming across the border, refusing to enter the country legally. And then now we have, I know you guys saw the number yesterday. I know you saw it. I know you saw the number, 470,000 people. That's just from Venezuela who were allowed to enter. And Joe Biden said, you know what? Go ahead and stay. It's totally fine. We've got a lot to unpack today. Dana Loesch here with you. And happy Thursday. Happy Thursday. Normally, I don't know. This is something else. I'm still pissed off about this. I'm not going to apologize for the Portuguese. Just deal with it. I'm still mad about this. Kane, did you see the video yesterday of the agents that Biden sent going to our border in Texas and cutting the fencing along the border, allowing people, allowing the drug cartels who were running the coyotes and everything else, allowing all of those people to enter in? Yep. You all saw that, right? That is one of the most unbelievable things. And they told them that. So Greg Abbott said, you know what? There's an invasion. We're going to move more guard over. We're going to get some military. We're going to do all this stuff. He had a letter. Let me read this letter. He sent this to the Biden administration. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he says the federal government's failure, and he's talking about criminal prohibition against aliens entering the United States between authorized ports of entry. He said your administration has made it clear it will not honor that guarantee. And I went through yesterday with you some of the statutes, that all of these statutes, all of the things that are being broken, that are being violated by the refusal to honor the legal way to enter the country. He says the federal government's failure has forced me to invoke Article 1, Subsection 10, Clause 3 of the United States Constitution, thereby enabling the state of Texas to protect its own territory against invasion by Mexican drug cartels. Your inaction has led to catastrophic consequences, and he explained. So he said it's an invasion. The Biden administration sent some jackboots to the banks of the Rio to cut the fencing, cut the wire that prevents people from crossing over and allowed people to go through it. Okay. I paid for that wire, Kane.
You too.
You paid for that wire. Everybody in the Republic of Texas paying their taxes, they pay for that wire. And even all y'all, the rest of y'all across the United States, y'all paid for that wire too. And we have the administration that's preventing Texas from you know, monitoring who enters the state, and then trying to prevent the state from further control who's coming across the border. 470,000. That's just the number of, and this is also, so Bill Malugin was writing about this. Venezuelans are going to, I mean, they're coming across the border at record numbers. He had said that, so here's the other thing. So the temporary protected status, there's actually, I'm lowering the number. It's actually 472,000. DHS announced it. This was last night that they were extending and redesignating temporary protected status for 18 months to Venezuelans here in the U.S. That makes 472,000 Venezuelans in the U.S. eligible to apply for a work authorization, shields them from deportation. The cutoff was supposed to be July. It's not. So they're preventing the deportation of 500,000 people who entered the country illegally. And in the meantime, Republicans were bitching and moaning because Tuberville was, you know, just saying, well, you know, you're not funding the border and you're also going to make everyone pay for taxpayer funded abortion on demand as birth control. So maybe I'm not going to allow some of this stuff to go through. And all of the people who are mad at Tuberville, oh my gosh, I want to stick my boot so far up your backside that it comes out your neck. Oh my gosh. You got to be kidding me with this. It's 500,000 people, Kane.
Yep.
And I love the, this is my favorite part of this story. Let me pull this up. What's the phrase that they were using? What's the phrase? Hold on. Temporary protected status. Do you think this is going to be temporary?
Hell no.
I don't think this is going to be temporary. Do y'all think this is going to be temporary? Everybody listening? I'm going to have a ton more coffee today to deal with this. I've already had one cup. I have my other Black Rifle coffee here. I'm going to need all of them today. The whole bag. I'm going to need all the beans today. So Border Patrol agents, obviously, how demoralized are you if you're a Border Patrol agent? How demoralized do you feel right now if you're a Border Patrol agent? This is just, it's absolutely asinine. And then you have the, did I tell you the time that, and I, there were people who had no idea what I was doing. I went down to the border with Glenn Beck because I wanted to see what was happening. And they were down there. He was down there to cut a check to, he literally handed the biggest check I've ever seen written in my life to Border Patrol. And he was also giving money to this organization that had, it was doctors and some nurses, and they had these like RVs that were outfitted to be like these medical RVs so that the hospitals and all that weren't overrun. And everyone's like, he went down there to like welcome people crossing illegally. That's literally not even what happened. They were like looking to see what was going on. And there were a ton of kids that were taken over without families and that were just in these centers because you could take a kid over. They would have like the same kid cross a million times. You could take a kid over. Oh, claim the kid's part of your family. You're processed faster through it. I got to tell you, Catholic Charities is down there and they're just making this all easier for the coyotes. Dude, did I tell you I got in an argument with a nun?
What?
Yeah, I did. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big the cross is on your neck. When you're sitting here talking about violating law, no one's saying that people can't come in. People are saying that you have to do so in an orderly and legal fashion, the way you got to do with every other country on God's green earth. But see, here in the United States, we have this like self-loathing. Why? Why do leftists in the United States hate themselves so damn bad? Oh my gosh, we can't possibly enforce our borders. That's so mean and privileged, etc. You can't enforce what? Is it ignorant when Caribbean nations do it? What about African nations? What about South American nations? Is it ignorant when they do it? What about places on the globe that half these progressives hadn't even heard of? Is it ignorant when they do it? I'm curious. No, it's only bad when the United States does it, because there's this self-loathing that is practiced and promoted by the left where it concerns the abilities and capabilities of the United States as a sovereign entity. You can't protect your citizens. You can't monitor your borders. I'm going to tell you something. One time, we were at Turks and Caicos one year. And we were out there on the beach. You know, it's our family vacation. And me and my oldest son, we saw out on the horizon, there was this boat. And it looked like a small boat, but you could literally see like it was just overflowing with people. And the next thing I knew, the place where we were staying, stepping out of like the landscaping, stepping out from behind palm trees. I'm like, where are y'all at? All of these, like, I mean, swatted out, kitted out, like full on law enforcement. They were in riot gear. Full auto. What were they carrying? I don't remember what they were carrying. They had full auto though. And I don't know if it was AK platform or what, but they came out, they stepped out of like the landscape. That's like they were hidden. I don't know where they were. I'd never seen that before. And we had been coming there for a few years. And I was watching this boat get closer and I saw a couple of other boats, like government boats, approaching it. So I went up and I asked this gentleman who was all kitted out. He's a very nice man. And I said, look, I'm actually not freaked out at all. I feel actually a little bit even more relaxed because y'all are out here, you know, with your firearms and everything. So I just am curious because I've never seen this before. What's happening? And he said there was a boat from Haiti that had been going up and down Grace Bay in Turks and Caicos trying to find a place where they could pull up and a whole boatload of people could get out and illegally enter the country. And they said, we're a small island. We don't take kindly to that. You know, we know what our resources are. We know what our, and he was like very matter of fact about it. And so what happened is they allowed that boat to get close. They docked it and they arrested every single one of those people. Took all of them to custody and they sent them right back to Haiti that day. They are not playing. And later on when we went stone fishing, I was talking to the boat captain. And I said, I've never seen anybody act that quickly. And it was so funny because he's like very laid back, you know, island life, very laid back. I brought up that issue. My gosh, it was like I lit a fire underneath him. He's like, yeah, we can't do that because he's like, you can't have that many people come in. He's like, you know what happened? If we allowed one boat to come in from Haiti, then everybody's going to come in. And then guess what happens to our resources? Guess what happens to our water supply? Guess what happens to our fishing? Guess what happens to this? He's like, we can't handle it. And he's like, some people think that's ignorant. He's like, I don't care. He goes, you have to protect where you live. Otherwise, you won't have a place to live anymore. Now, why is it ignorant to have that attitude in the United States? But not if you're in Turks and Caicos. Not if you're in Brazil, Puerto Rico, Mexico even. Try entering illegally into Mexico. See how that works for you. You'll get your pick of a lovely Mexican cell. But in the United States, it's this perpetuated self-loathing from the left. And I think it's intentional. It's intentional. Undermine confidence in the country, undermine appreciation of the nation, and promote reckless disregard of law and order to create chaos. We have no idea who these people are who are coming in. No clue. No idea. I'm going to tell you what. I've been hearing from all of you who are listening down in KURV. Y'all listening out in El Paso. Some of the emails I can't read on air. And even if some of the choice words are said in Spanish, I'm pretty sure I can't say them on air. But I'm telling you, some of the people who are angriest about this, in fact, I think the people who are angriest about this are the people who, again, they come to America and they become Americans. Because they're like, what is this? What are we seeing here? I agree with you. This is huge. And when we were down there, went to Catholic Charities, and I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't working with the coyotes and cartels. Get mad at me and send me hate mail. What I'll do is I'll print it out with your name, and then I'm going to go to the range. I'm going to shoot a bunch of holes in it, and then I'm going to bring it back late in my driveway and take out my Segway, and I'm going to ride over it. So send me that. That'll be fun. Honestly, because it's all too damn coordinated. Too coordinated with the government, too. Interesting. All right, we got a lot to hit. That's just the tip of the iceberg because we got to get into some of this stuff. Hunter Biden's going to be in court next week. In persona. He's going to be in person. What? We got to have that conversation. We have a bunch of culture stuff as well you don't want to miss. Folks, Constitution Day has come and gone, but there's still time to receive your free copy of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence from my friends at Hillsdale College. So what are you waiting for? Grab your free copy at dana4hillsdale.com today. Hillsdale's goal is to give away 1 million copies to Americans who don't have one. And if you already have a copy, why not get one for someone you know doesn't have a copy? Every American, young and old, should read these documents, because liberty depends on we the people knowing the basic principles of free government. And given the state of our nation, it's more critical than ever for citizens to read and understand these founding documents. So to claim your own free copy or to give one away, visit dana4hillsdale.com. The form is simple, and you'll receive your booklet by mail without paying shipping. The offer expires in just a few days, so reserve your copy at dana4hillsdale.com today. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So songwriters are set to lobby Congress for protections against AI. They're heading to Washington to speak with lawmakers about putting in place these protections for creators amid the rise of artificial intelligence technology. Around 30 members of the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers are going to meet with members of Congress to talk about the threats that they're already posing to the industry as part of the Stand with Songwriters Advocacy Day. Make sure that, well, I mean, I get it. They're, you know, they're trying. I get it. So, also, speaking of those writers, SAG-AFTRA has been complaining that the strike is preventing them from making quote-unquote world-changing content about the Alphabet people. We're going to talk about that here coming up, because that's a whole thing by itself. Project Veritas has suspended all operations amid devastating layoffs and fundraising struggles. That's what happens when you get rid of James O'Keefe.
Yeah.
Seethe. General Motors lays off 2,000 workers at Kansas Assembly Plant amid the UAW's strike of 13,000 employees at the Detroit Big Three because there's no work. They said there's no work. And the White House told U.S. Ambassador to Japan, Rahm Emanuel, to stop taunting China on social media. We're American. We do what we want. Taunting included. Stick with us. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Gas prices have never been this high at this time of the year, ever. With the fall season approaching, diesel prices are expected to go up for farmers, which in turn causes your grocery bill to skyrocket. With no strategic petroleum reserve to tap into, is there ever an end in sight? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Real quick before we go, does this make you understand better what border cities have been going through for years?
Of course we do. Of course we do. We need a strong federal immigration policy, full stop. And that's why instead of talking about shutting down the government, I'm calling on the nine Republican members of Congress from New York and the rest of our Republican leadership in Washington to do the right thing and meet with President Biden and come up with a comprehensive immigration plan that deals with the border, but also takes care of the people who are here.
That's wait a minute. Whoa. I can't take this broad anymore. It's Kathy Hochul again. Welcome back. Dana Lash here. You can listen across the country. You can stream the radio program. You can watch a simulcast, channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, or Facebook also. You'll have to forgive the mood, because if you're not enraged over this, then what are you going to get mad about? Normally, we keep it pretty kittens and sunshine here. Excuse me. But this is insane. Absolutely insane. I have been ticked off since I saw the video of the jackbooted feds that President Daddy Shower sent down to the border to cut the fence that we, that, you know what? I had somebody tell me, well, what are you going to do, Dana? Are all the Texans going to go down there and face off against the federales? Oh my gosh. You know how there's this joke that's been going around. How often do men think about ancient Rome? You ask free people how often they think about facing off like that. I'm not saying that as for show. I'm not saying that as a joke. Like, don't threaten me with a good time. This is insane. Because you've been making people in border towns and really elsewhere all across the nation have to put up with this. They're giving out now ICE ID cards for illegal aliens released in the U.S. It's called the ICE Secure Docket Card. And they've been handing them out. I think they're still getting the stipend. I don't know if they're still going to. It was something like, what was it? Something like a couple $1,000, $1,500. I think it varied under the Obama administration. But I mean, this is unbelievable. A couple places have this story, this ICE docket card that they have. You can't make this up. It's the part of the ICE Secure Docket Card. It was first reported last year as a pilot program, right? And they said that it's going to modernize various forms of documentation that are provided provisionally. Can we stop using these words? We all know you don't mean that. Don't sit here and tell us temporary. Don't tell us provisionally. I mean, you're making this a permanent thing. I mean, isn't it? Wait a minute. Whoa, hold up. Is this racist? I was told ID cards were racist. Hold up. Wait a minute. Oh, that's the sound of a break. Side note to production. Can Dana get a break noise for her Farrago? Thank you. I was told this is racist. No, that's what they've said. No, listen, this is what they've said. They've said, the Democrats, that if you are for any kind of voter, any kind of ID, particularly the voting kind, which is just ID, that's racist. You're a racist. If you think that people should have that. So I want to make sure I understand this. If you have to have an ID here in the United States as a citizen of the United States and you're going to go vote, that is racist. But if you enter the country illegally, you're just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, given a free ID, all yours, your photo, everything. It's your ID that you can go and use. That's not racist.
I don't get it.
I am so confused here. I was told that. And the people who come in at the border, they're not removed. I'm actually kind of surprised that, I mean, every Venezuelan individual, everybody who came in from Venezuela, the people I know who came from Venezuela immigrated legally, so I don't know. They're pretty conservative. Oh, wait, it's the Cubans they don't want. That's right. It's the Cubans that the Democrats don't want. Those are the people that they said, go back to Castro land, go back. Everybody else is okay, though, because, we can still maybe mold how you vote. But you Cubans got to go back. Right. That's the rule. So they say that the new ID card, it has room for a photo, a QR code, the ICE logo. It has all of that stuff. And they're given those. It's going to provide important access to documents through a portal. Yeah, I'm sure that everybody's going to be using that. Don't you think so, Kane? I mean, just look at the percentage of people who enter the country illegally and are given a court date to go before an immigration judge. Just look at how 100% of the time they all go back. Yeah, it's 90% of the time they go back. 80%?
No.
70?
No.
60? I feel like, how many bowls of total does it take? But that's, so I'm sure that there are some people that are going to follow the law after they broke it by coming into the country illegally. Sure. Yeah. I'm just, ICE, why is ICE now a welfare office? That's what this is. ICE has turned into a welfare office. They're not detaining and deporting people. They're handing out entitlements. That's a welfare office. Oh my gosh, but then I love the hypocrisy of this. Democrats are like, oh my gosh, if you don't want those people coming across the border, you're so bad. Oh, but don't send them here. We can't handle it. Kathy Hochul, we can't handle it. I'm amazed at this. So we have the jackbooted feds going down, cutting the fencing at the border. Greg Abbott says it's an invasion. We've got ICE handing out all these ID cards, these secure docket cards. And then you had the administration give a quote unquote temporary, if you believe that, DHS offering deportation protection to over 470,000 Venezuelans. And what did we have this week? Just the other day, was it in Eagle Pass that was 9,000? And they're all single adults. That's the other thing from Border Patrol. They are like 99% single adults. And the numbers have jumped. Over 180,000 encounters in July. Guess what it is in August? Guess what the numbers haven't been released, but guess what the early estimates are for August? It was 180,000 alone in July. Guess for August. 230,000 in the last 5 days at two ports of entry. Officials have made over 45,000 encounters with illegal aliens. That's just in the last 5 days. Multiple days of over 8,000 illegal immigrant encounters. And they're struggling to deal with everybody coming in. They can't deal with it. This is honestly, I view it as an attack on the nation. And I don't know how you don't impeach the president of the United States for this alone. Because it is an absolute violation of not just the Constitution, but it's an absolute violation of state laws that are at the border that have the legal obligation to maintain border security. I feel like if the United States isn't going to sit here and enforce laws, then why should any of us follow laws? And let me tell you, pray to God that the people who follow law and order and abide by the law, pray that you never push them to the point where they don't want to follow the law anymore, because those are the people you got to worry about. But I think that's what they want. I mean, this is all by design. This is all by design. This is the administration trying to punish border states and absolutely foment total chaos, which I thought was asinine. When you had DeSantis, when he was talking to, who is this, ABC, Audio Soundbite 9. This reporter was trying to tell him, well, you're just going to bring chaos to the border. He wouldn't have none of it. Listen to this.
They are killing our citizens. They are invading our country. We have every right to hold them accountable and to fight back.
But with regard to bringing the military in to shoot them, just want to say you have touted yourself as the law and order candidate. How is that not a recipe for chaos?
It's not a recipe for right now is the recipe for chaos. I mean, you see all the people coming across the border. A lot of these countries like Venezuela, they're letting people out of prison and they're sending them to the border. I mean, what is happening in this country is a problem. There's Russians coming across the border. There's people from the Middle East. As much as I hate to say this, I think it's true that we're going to look back at some point and say there's going to have been some terrorist attack in this country that is going to be traced to what's happened to the border. And then, of course, we know.
Yeah. Nobody knows who's coming in at the border. Do you know how many times Border Patrol have updated and said, oh, my gosh, they've detained terrorists, people who are actually on watch lists at the border. This is what border states have been dealing with. And this administration is trying to prove a point. They're trying to get this optic. They're carrying the stunt out on the backs of these residents that are in these border towns. And let me tell you, these are hardworking people. They're not billionaires. They're not They're not super wealthy people. They want to work. They want to live their lives. They want to have a safe community. I get emails from people who live in these towns who are worried about their kids walking to school. I hear from people who are in our listening areas that literally drive by detainment centers. They see them. I have people who listen to this program and watch the simulcast that own property that is right on the Rio. They can't go out after dusk to check on their livestock because, God forbid, they run into a cartel member. This is real life. This isn't some kind of Jack Ryan made for television series. This is what these people are dealing with at the hands of this administration. And we got the Republicans getting involved. I'm going to be real. You got Republicans in Texas in this big giant circle jerk going after Ken Paxton. Everything else. Where are you, Dade Phelan, and all of you other mindless bimbos helping us at the border? Where are you for El Paso? Where are you for Eagle Pass? Where are you for KURV? Where are you for all of these areas? They're drowning. They're not giving any lip service or helping Abbott. They're not facing off against the Biden administration. They're power jockeying because you have a family, a dynastic family, that is losing power because they're getting old and they can't win offices anymore. And all they got to do is carry out these petty grievance wars against elected officials that are doing more than elected officials in other states. And who's paying for it? We the people. We're paying for it. I mean, literally, we are paying for it. With lives, with our tax dollars, with all of this. I am so done with this right now. I am so done with it. But you know what? As fed up as we all are, you cannot be as fed up as the people who live on the border. You are not going to be as fed up as the border agent who has been pulling a 14-hour shift in the heat, getting shot at from the other side of the Rio by cartels. Putting up some kind of fencing, all they can do as a force multiplier to help them corral the deluge coming across the border. And then you have the jackbooted thugs for the federal government coming in and cutting those fences. They might as well be coming in and busting the lock on your front door. This is the Biden administration declaring war on border towns. This is the Biden administration declaring war on border states. It's the Biden administration and the Democrat Party that is declaring war on the American people without a shot fired yet. We got more to come as we roll into the bottom or the towards the end of this first hour. And as we move, I have more coffee. Is this good? Thank you. Golly. Woohoo. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
They will drive our clean energy transition. They will keep the global supply chain secure.
I can't deal with him. Coffee me. I need more. I need. It's a new feature that we have here in the show. If I say coffee me, just a disembodied hand comes out of the ether. Hands me some of my Black Rifle coffee. Thank you, disembodied hand. I can't deal with what? Clip the supply? What?
Yeah, that's what he said.
If he and John Fetterman had a conversation, how would that go?
Oh, man.
How do you think that would work if they had a conversation together? I'm just curious. What does that even mean? I'm looking at our audio list, and sometimes, like, Steve will type it out on here. Yeah, it says, go global supply, cane supply chain, sugar. Can I hear it one more time? That's literally, like, Steve will literally type it out, like, exactly as he hears it.
You wanna hear?
Yeah, let me relate again. Do it.
They will drive our clean energy transition. They will keep the global supply chain secure.
There's a global supply cane?
Yeah.
So, like, if there's others of you?
Yeah, whole global supply.
How many canes are there?
Global supply
of canes. That has to make you feel pretty important, right?
When we do this segment, I sometimes have to make, like, editorial decisions about do I be authentic or just write it verbatim. And I've picked the latter lately.
But that is authentic, though. I love how that's right. He's like, am I authentic or do I just write it as they actually heard it?
Yeah, we don't need you to translate it. We just want what really was said.
I love that is authentic. Good for you and your authenticity. That's the real authenticity. Yeah, that's our president. Did you see the video where there's no audio with it, where he didn't shake the Brazilian president's hand and the dude was mad? He, like, Biden just stood there like a, you know, bump on a log. And the Brazilian leader, like, went over to him and then took his hand away and then just, like, kind of threw his hand down, his own hand down, like, oh, I'm done with that guy. That was awkward. That was awkward. Where's that big national conversation about restoring our place, our popularity in the world? Where's that at? We got another hour on the way. And Ken Paxton, AG of Texas, is going to join us coming up. Don't miss.
This is something that young leaders have actually told me that they've coined as a term, climate anxiety, which is their fear about the future, right? And so whether they should have children, whether they should ever think about buying a home for fear that it might be wiped out because of extreme weather occurrences. And it pains me that they would live with such uncertainty about what their future can be.
Good grief. Climate anxiety. I'm so, like, I have anxiety about the weather. So, who is she talking to? I think it's abusive if you're scaring anybody out of having kids because of the weather. That's absolutely abusive. I mean, who in the world, watch out, don't look under the bed. The climate could get you. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you, top of this second hour. And you can listen to the radio program across the country, and you can also watch the simulcast of the radio program. YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. Climate anxiety. Isn't she kind of adding to it because climate anxiety. Who created climate anxiety? Democrats created climate anxiety. I mean, you have this people who, it's a weather cult trying to scare everybody into thinking that the world is ending and therefore you've got to give us all your money. That's the only way to stop the climate from getting you. It's the new boogeyman, Kane.
Yeah.
It's the climate. Kids are going to be worried about the weather. It's true. I'm curious as to what young leader she's talking about. They introduced me to the term climate anxiety. Because their parents brainwashed them into being afraid of a theory that doesn't even have general consensus in the scientific community. And frankly, we're in a cooling cycle, you know, if you really wanted to talk about the specifics of it. But it's easier to try to invoke some sort of grandiose plan to control everyone down from what they eat to where they live to how they get to where they live or how they get to work by telling them the world's going to end because of the weather. I don't think she's talking like about everyday people either. I think she's talking about activists who buy into this. Do you remember too, though, when those kids walked into Dianne Feinstein's office and they wanted her to support the Green New Deal. Do you remember this? And she was basically like that Michael Jordan meme, blank them kids. Remember that? She was like, this isn't how you do it. She lectured the kids. It was so funny. Because it was hysterical. So I don't know. I mean, I mean, Democrats created the climate anxiety. I mean, this is what they created. They did this. They made everybody freak out. They made these activists, people like Greta Thunberg, freak out about this stuff. No one else buys into it. I mean, because really, ultimately, what all of this is, I think the Green New Deal is a vessel through which we are being sold subjugation to China. Ultimately, that's it, because everything in the Green New Deal makes you reliant upon everything that China has a monopoly on. And they want to move you at a super fast pace to be reliant upon a form of energy that we neither have any way to extract ourselves or any way to process ourselves, any way at all whatsoever to provide to ourselves. There's no security there if we move entirely on, you know, that sort of green infrastructure. We would be more reliant upon China than we are on OPEC right now. But that's what this administration and the Democrat Party want, which then, you know, it begs the question that this is all about subjugation to China. I mean, they were making money from them, just saying. So a couple of other things to get to. Oh, here's what I want to bring up. I saw this tweet from Justin Trudeau yesterday. This is what he said. Quote, "Let me make one thing very clear. Transphobia, homophobia, biphobia have no place in this country. We strongly condemn this hate and its manifestations, and we stand united in support of 2SLGBTQI. Is that a passcode? Did he just accidentally type his passcode in here? Plus Canadians across the country. You are valid and you are valued. Okay, so what the hell is biphobia? I'm going to ignore his passcode that he put in here. What is biphobia?
Fear of binoculars?
Bicycles? Fear of bicycles?
That could be it.
Isn't biphobia binary?
Yes.
How can you be biphobic if binary is a societal construct? Because I didn't think about that, said the left. What is it? What is the... Does it mean that... I had one listener go, it means that sometimes you're afraid of gays and sometimes you're not. But is that fear fluid? Like, today I'm afraid of the gays. Yesterday I wasn't afraid of the gays, though. And tomorrow I may not be either. Or one of my friends said, is it like people who hate bifocals? Yeah. What are all the stuff that starts with bi? Bicycle. Bifocals.
Bicarbonate.
Yeah, bicarbonate. Like, I guess they hate baking. What is that? We're just like making up stuff to be like terrified of. What is that?
Bifelicia.
Yeah, bifelicia. Okay, so help me understand his passcode. 2SL. So the L is for lesbians. The G is for gays. The B is for the bis. The T is for the trans. The Q is, I guess... I thought queer was a slur. Is it?
Well, that's a category.
I mean, not in the Robert Frost sense of the word. You know, my little horse must think it queer. And then the I don't even know what that is. Plus, whatever that is. What is the two thing, though? The two S?
Two S is two spirit.
Okay, we're back to that?
Back to binary.
But that's, wait a minute. Wait. How? Wait. That's binary, then. I am so confused. What? Okay. I don't even know. I think I still, I maintain that that's his passcode. Okay. Now, SAG-AFTRA, if you saw this in your prep, this was entertaining. They've been complaining that the strike is preventing them from making world-changing content about rainbow glitter stuff, about alphabet stuff. Bounding into Comics had the story where they have the union as they're striking. They said that they were trying to push the Alphabet agenda and that the strikes are detrimental to the Alphabet representation. I'm going to need, give me some letter people now, that it's detrimental to the Alphabet representation. There we go. You got to have this. It's the letter people. Come and meet the letter people. They're being prevented, guys, from making their world-changing stories. What world-changing stories? The letter people. You guys remember that show?
Yeah.
I just remember Tall T, Texas T. He had big teeth. So I guess the Alphabet people are worried that they said that the companies are complicit in this regressive push. They're preventing artists from getting back to work and making their worldview changing stories. Everyone deserves to grow up seeing their identity authentically representative. And nobody does. People deserve a good story. Half of these stories are garbage. Half of these characters and storylines are forced into it. I mean, it's like a tiny percentage of the population, but yet you're supposed to have like a trans character now, like in everything. And in what way? Like in what way? There's no way to make that look organic. That's just so lame. I can't stand when it's forced. Then it's manufactured. Then it's corporate. Then that's selling out. Yeah, they want the culture, because then what's downstream from culture, Kane?
Politics.
Ah, that's right. Then the policy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We want to make our world-changing stories on rainbows and glitter. It's what we want. Gosh, I don't know. I don't understand some of the stuff is just so over the top. Like, it's just preachy. You know how so much television is garbage anymore. I don't watch regular television. I do not watch regular television. The only thing that I actually watch is sometimes I'll watch Fox. But it's usually C-SPAN. I literally do, or local news. I'll watch the local news of when it's a tornado season. But that's it. I don't even watch television anymore. Everything that I watch is Apple TV. That's what I watch. I watch Apple TV. And then it's either documentaries, and my family makes so much fun of me because I like Rick Steves series. They make so much fun of me. But it's a good show. Or I'll watch horror films. Because that's how I relax. You know, I watch horror films, or I watch historical, I'll watch documentaries or alien stuff. I watch the alien stuff or Bigfoot stuff. That's kind of it. I don't even watch television anymore because it's so like over the top and stupid. What's one of the series? I watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And then anything with, who's the guy from The Office? He was in A Quiet Place. I can't remember his name right now. And he did the Jack Ryan series. It's fantastic. I watched the Reacher series, too. That's really good. Lioness was actually pretty good, except for the lesbian story arc. It's like, really? Like, why did... Come on. But it's all... I don't know. I can't watch it. Because it's over the... You guys know what I'm talking about. It's over the top. It's so over the top. I noticed this when I was watching, like, the Hallmark Christmas stuff. It's like, now they have to have... And it's such tokenism. It's token representation. And that's the other thing. People in the Alphabet people, it's like they'll settle for that. Like, why don't you make your own stuff? Have your own Alphabet network. You have your own Alphabet network. Why don't you do your Christmas stories? Why don't you do that stuff? Like, now with Hallmark, it's like you have to have the gay friend. And it's always the gay friend. It's like the only role. Oh. We have more on the way, including a moose fight coming up in headlines. That's actually a real thing. And as we get... it's a real thing.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, a moose versus a Colorado woman. That went about as well as you would have expected it to go. It was in Boulder, Colorado. A woman was out walking her dog, and she was charged, headbutted, and stomped on by a cow moose. And Colorado Parks and Wildlife said it happened yesterday along the South St. Fran Trail near Ward outside of Boulder. They said that they surprised a moose and they were out walking, and the moose charged her, headbutted her, stomped on her several times. She was able to walk to a nearby neighbor's house where she called deputies, and she had minor injuries. I think the dog was okay, but oh my gosh. So Yeah, that's there. You got to be careful with that stuff. I mean, just because it's like, you know, moose will, if you get in their territory, they you know, they will charge you. You got to be careful with that. Oklahoma death row inmate was executed by lethal injection for the brutal 1996 rape and murder of a ballerina. He got his last meal, and then he said he probably wouldn't be able to eat it. Anthony Sanchez was pronounced dead at 10:19 a.m., so justice was delivered after he was convicted of the brutal 1996 murder of a 21-year-old ballerina. She was abducted, sexually assaulted, bound, and then shot in the head. He maintained his innocence, but the DNA evidence had him, the footprint, all kinds of stuff. Witnessed that there was a lot of stuff that had him. There was an overabundance of evidence. And so justice was delivered there. So Budweiser is apparently, nobody cares really much about them, but they are going to stop cutting the tails off the Clydesdales after pressure from activists. The concession comes as they try to move past a consumer backlash over having that dude who cosplayed as a chick sell beer. So they're going to stop cutting the tails off of the horses, they said, because they said the practice is cruel. They didn't need to do it. I actually agree with that. So good. I mean, take care of the Clydesdales. It's just sad that they sad about all this. This is an insane story. So Tim Ballard, who is in Sound of Freedom, has now been accused of sexual misconduct. And I mean, he was rumored also to be just now getting into the Senate race in Utah. And then as that news was coming, seven women came forward and accused him of misconduct. Of course, his life story and the work that he did with helping trafficked children was the subject of the film Sound of Freedom, starring Jim Caviezel. Now he's facing this firestorm. He did step down from Operation Underground Railroad because the allegations are that he stepped down from that some months prior because some women were making accusations. But I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any kind of a criminal investigation, though. So that's what's like confusing. I don't know. That it just I don't know. Let's see. This teen girl found an iPhone in an airplane bathroom, and her family says that it was put there to record her. A 14-year-old, she discovered it taped to the back of a toilet going on a flight from Charlotte, North Carolina to Boston. And they think that a member of the crew taped it there to actually record her. They said it was a male member of the crew who used the first class bathroom first. And they told her the seat was broken when she entered. And then she realized that there was a largely obscured iPhone on the back. And she took a picture with her own phone and left the bathroom and told her family. And now they're investigating. That's just insane. You got to just be so hyper aware. There's evil in this world. We have a lot more on the way, including the latest on immigration. And the president is creating this office for gun violence prevention. We'll talk that more. Stick with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dade Phelan got his feelings hurt. He was so drunk handling the house business, knowing full well that they had no evidence to support an impeachment and they hadn't done their homework. When Ken Paxton says, "Hey man, you embarrassed the devil out of yourself, you should resign," they sped up the process and impeached this man.
Hmm. He had some really good legal representation. Of course, that's the attorney for Texas AG Ken Paxton. And now I hope that we can get back to the business of the people after this witch hunt is undertaken. I had some strong words about that last hour, because frankly, you look at what's happening at the border, and I look at all of these stupid Republicans in Austin sitting here carrying this on, going after the one guy who has been aggressively fighting this. I don't know. I mean, I think what is like 70 something, I don't know how many cases they filed, and they've been winning case after case after case. Well, yeah, obviously the federal government didn't like that none too much. And then, of course, some of these people like Dade Phelan and others, they found that a little bit advantageous and they decided to collude with those people. I mean, in my estimation, and go after one of the most successful attorney generals that we have in the United States. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast to the nationally syndicated radio show. You can listen all throughout the country, all throughout the Republic of Texas, and you can stream the radio program, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. Joining us now, we have him via Skype. We're going to get that video up, but we have Attorney General Ken Paxton. Jackson joining us. And General, it's good to have you. I'm glad that all of this is now done. The acquittal is in, and you are actually free now to go back to dealing with the business of the people of Texas. So this is good news indeed, and expected, honestly.
Yeah, look, 4 months I was on sidelines. A lot of things didn't happen that would have. Some of those are with the border. Obviously, we've had tremendous problems with the House even doing anything about the border. And I'm just glad to be back because we've already been talking about several issues. You know what's going on. It's not gotten any better. And they took me out of the fight for 4 months, which is really unfortunate, but I'm back to deal with that issue.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you. I want people to understand just how much the fight at the border has been impacted by this, you know, witch hunt with some of your supposed to be same side political enemies, because that's ultimately what this was. There was no, and I'm not going to relitigate it. There was no evidence presented. I mean, they even had to admit it in court. And it was very, very embarrassing for them. I mean, it was an embarrassment what they did. But tell us, how was this impacted? I mean, how was this made worse to have like the tip of the spear that's been pushing back against this at the border? How bad was this impacted by you being tied up?
So for 4 months, I'm out, but also we're losing people as time going on because they're worried about their jobs. And so the people are being hired away. So some of our best and brightest actually left. So I have to replenish that and try to find new people and get them engaged on the issue. So it's hard to measure like how much they impacted the border. But clearly that was not their concern. They never called me and said, hey, how's this going to impact your office? What can we do to help? They did nothing but create harm in the House. Targeted my office while I was gone, making it more difficult for them to do all kinds of different things. So they made it more difficult and they harassed my office while I was out. That was Dade Phelan and his crew of House members that decided this was a good idea.
I just, we're talking with Attorney General of the Republic of Texas, Ken Paxton. And, you know, we talked a little bit, we've been covering this on the show and talking a little bit about, talked about this last hour. I mean, last issue on this, and then we got to talk about these major developments now at the southern border. But do you view this as is this the last gasp of the Bush cartel?
You know what? You've still got Karl Rove, who's on Fox News, who people are misguided about, who still has a lot of influence there to get different people on those shows. And he's still involved in Republican politics, helping a lot of times Democrats or more liberal Republicans. So he's still out there. And obviously he's a Bush operative and connected to Johnny Sutton, who was involved in my trial, representing all the ex-employees that were here for free over the last 3 years. Apparently, they are going to pay at some point, but it's odd that for 3 years, they haven't even signed a fee agreement. So the Bush operatives, and of course, they had George P. set up to take my spot. He knew before I did what was happening in my office. It's clear because of when he applied for his law license after 10 years. So they're still out there hoping for the reemergence of the Bush dynasty.
That's just wild to me. We moved to Texas 10 years ago, and I had heard from my friends in Texas about how, you know, the family operated, and there's this factional war on the right. To see it, though, like play out the way that I have over the past decade has been pretty amazing. But we're glad that you're through this, and we're glad that, integrity has been restored here and that you've been acquitted as justifiably so. I got to ask you about the president's move, General, the 472,000, I believe, Venezuelans who have been given this sort of temporary reprieve on deportation. I've been looking at Customs and Border Patrol. There are reports coming in from Eagle Pass, Del Rio. We're looking at thousands upon thousands upon thousands of illegal immigrants coming across the border. There were 9,000 under the bridge, I think, that were in Eagle Pass just the other day. The governor has declared that this is an invasion. Said that because of the invasion, they deployed the Guard, DPS, local law enforcement. General, there were people, the feds, cutting the wire on the banks of the Rio to allow people to enter the country illegally. How is the federal government getting away with this?
It's completely illegal. And now that we know that, we're looking at another way to try to stop it, which all I can do is lawsuit. I have lawyers. I don't have guys with guns and who can go down there and prevent this from happening. But we are looking at our options as to how we might stop this. But I think that alone tells you exactly what this administration is all about. They are encouraging this in every way possible, even inhibiting our efforts on the border to stop this from happening. And it doesn't matter where people are coming from. It doesn't matter what their background. It doesn't matter if they're criminals. It doesn't matter if they're trafficking drugs. The Biden administration wants them here.
Yeah, I we're showing some of the video on the simulcast for the radio program of these federal agents that the administration sent down. I mean, the way that I characterize this, General, it looks like, I mean, like the administration is kind of declaring war on, you know, border states and border towns. There have been Democrat mayors that have spoken up against this. And yet we see that the federal government is essentially, I mean, are they in collusion with the cartels? I mean, at this point, I got to ask, like, who's making money to allow this lawlessness at the border?
There's no doubt. I was saying this before I was, you know, ousted 4 months ago. And there's definitely a partnership between the cartels and the Biden administration. The cartels know exactly what they need to do. They just have to deliver them. It used to be people came to the border and they tried to get around Border Patrol, tried to hide. That is not the deal now. It is a handoff. And the more people the cartels can bring in, the more money they make. And they know that. And the Biden administration knows that. There is a clear tacit agreement between the cartels and the Biden administration. They are working together. And the whole drug cartel thing, obviously, the border's wide open for that as well. So the Biden administration is willing to sacrifice our children to drug overdoses from fentanyl because they want more illegals here. It's really evil and it's terrible.
Yeah. I read the, we had the headline last week, the Biden administration said that they were going to prevent, I guess this is, you know, a punishment to Texas, illegal immigrants from leaving the state. They were very upset with the busing of illegal immigrants to New York and I guess Martha's Vineyard as well. Can they do that? Can they prevent illegal immigrants from going further into the interior and leaving Texas?
Look, here's the deal. They don't respect the law. So I presume they think they can do anything. It's pretty shocking, though, that you know, the strategy here is to get as many illegals in the Republican states for two reasons. One is votes. Second, do as much damage to the Republican states because we're all our states. Pick them. Texas, Florida, Tennessee, Utah. I mean, Republican states with successful policies are attracting people. And if they can do harm to us, which they are, by causing us, you know, more crime, higher costs on education, higher costs in healthcare, higher costs in all kinds of ways. That's what they're trying to do. On top of the voting, they want to do harm. That's what our federal government is doing to Republican states.
Yeah, I'm talking with Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton. Speaking of that, what the federal government is doing, this headline coming out at CNN, but, you know, more military personnel heading to the U.S.-Mexico border as officials describe the increase in crossings. This sounds less like they're going to deal with the deluge coming across the border and more like they are going to kind of push back against the guard and the other resources that the governor has called. I mean, that's just kind of the first impression that I get. Is this going towards some sort of standoff?
You know what? It appears to be that way because the governor's in a pretty difficult situation. Obviously, you don't want some type of conflict with federal agents. And I've talked to these federal agents. They don't want it either. They'd love to be doing their job. They'd love to be enforcing our laws. That's what they signed up for. Unfortunately, we've got a bunch of politicians in Washington in the Biden administration who have ordered them to do just the opposite of what their jobs are. And people that speak out in the Border Patrol are summarily pushed out or, you know, prosecuted, as we've seen.
Mm. This is unbelievable. Last question for you, Attorney General Ken Paxton, joining us via Skype. Are you going to run for Senate? Are you going to go for Cornyn's seat?
You know what? I said all options are on the table.
So that sounds like a yes. It kind of sounds like a yes.
I am just so happy to be doing my job right now and have the opportunity to get back here and try to work on some of these problems. But I've been here the entire time Cornyn's been in office, and I'm pretty involved. I generally know what people are doing. I can't name one thing that he's accomplished in his 14 years. For the first time ever, I heard him actually talking about the border today. And I think it's because I said he hasn't done anything about the border. So finally, he's actually saying he needs to do something about the border. Well, it's a little late for him, but I'll take it, whatever he can do. But I have never seen him. And I'd love to hear some examples of things that he's accomplished for Texans or for anybody that isn't related to some political deal.
And it sounded like a yes. I'm just, Kane, we're going to note that. It sounded like a yes. Attorney General Ken Paxton, we are glad that you are now unencumbered to get back to the business of Texans. And we're glad to have you back in the fight. Thanks so much for your time today. Good to talk with you.
Hey, so glad to be back. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Take care.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I got a good guy Florida Man story. An elderly Florida man. So see, this goes into Kane's, you know, the elderly aren't innocent. Old people aren't innocent. Says the elderly Florida man saves SUV passengers who crashed into a backyard pool. So a driver, I love how they act like, I know this is like a long running thing for decades, but, you know, SUVs aren't, you know, they're driven by people. They don't just like decide, I'm going to go into a pool. Says the SUV was carrying, like it carted off a male driver. It was a man driver, a little girl. They were both hoisted out of the car by the elderly homeowner and the sheriff's detective who was passing by. This thing went straight through like an intersection right into this guy's pool. 76-year-old William Martz, it was of North Lauderdale, Florida, said that he heard the SUV plunge into the pool, went outside to look at the noise. They said that they thought lightning struck the house, and it was, he goes, there was a tidal wave right across my pool, and that's when he noticed the silver Ford Explorer sitting right there in the middle of it. And they pulled it out, but he actually got in and helped get them out and save them. That's actually really cool. So kudos to him. That's a very nice Florida man. This is not a nice Florida man. Police are looking for this guy. An incident that happened on September 2nd. A man who is a pervert, he exposed himself to a woman on a Lynx bus at a Florida mall. Mm-hmm. In Orange County. He got on the bus around 6:45 p.m., looked at the victim, and, he exposed himself. The woman said that she's seen the man on the bus before and that he frequents the area, and there's a reward of $1,000. Being offered if information leads to his whereabouts or an arrest. Why don't I understand people? And also, I would have hit him. I think I would have hit him. Yeah. I'd have just hit him and knocked him out. I kicked him right in the neck. That's what you do. A Florida man won $5 million with a lucky scratch-off ticket. He took home his lotto money as a one-time lump sum payment of almost $4 million. A Volusia County man. He said he was doing, what is it, the $20 Monopoly doubler, 61-year-old, and went out for a sandwich and came back with $5 million?
Yeah.
Almost $5 million. Lucky duck. And also, I got to have this story for you. So, a Florida man stole an ambulance from an Alabama Taco Bell. A 31-year-old Florida man, he wanted to make a run for the border, but he needed an ambulance to do it. In Greenville, Alabama, police say the Florida man jumped into an unlocked ambulance parked at a Taco Bell and then found the keys because they decided, did they leave the keys in the ambulance? I mean, I would just think that's like one of the things you don't do. Don't leave the people in the back and you don't leave the keys in it. And he took off Wednesday afternoon. Joyride didn't last long. WSFA had the story. They said police found the stolen ambulance a little time later. And the suspect, as many do, tried to flee, but was unsuccessful and quickly apprehended. Through surveillance video from the restaurant, police were able to identify the suspect as Bradley Paul Hereford. Hereford was transported to the Butler County Jail, where he is being held without bond on charges of first-degree theft of property and attempting to elude. He's also wanted for probation violation in Florida. He had been released, literally just got out of state prison on September 1st. He served 3 years for assaulting a cop, and that's according to Florida Department of Corrections. He literally just gets out of jail, and he's in Alabama, and he sees the ambulance in the parking lot of a Taco Bell, and his first thought isn't, I'd like to have a taco or chalupa. His first thought is, I'm going to steal that ambulance. And he's already been twice already. Two different jail terms in Florida. He had grand theft, child neglect, and all convictions. And 4 counts of aggravated battery. So he's got a pretty significant record. And literally, he's out for 20 days. Not even, 19 days. He's out 19 days. And he immediately reoffends, and now he's held with that bond. So, I mean, it sounds like that's what you do if you want to go back to jail, right? Yeah. Sounds like he wants to go back to jail. So don't be like that guy. Good grief. All right, coming up, third hour on the way. And we've got all the latest. So now, I mean, is there actually going to be a standoff at the border? I mean, it seems like that's what this administration's pushing for by ramping up their resources there and not to help Border Patrol deal with the deluge. We got that and more coming up. Stick with us.
So if somebody comes to me and says, will you keep it open for a week or for a month? I will, but not if they make me swallow Ukraine aid. See, that's what they're going to do. They're going to try to tie Ukraine aid to keeping the government open. And then they're going to say, oh, no, it's your fault. Well, no, I'm pointing the finger first. It's their fault if they want to keep the government open by keeping another government open. So our primary responsibility is to our government, not the Ukraine.
Yeah, and that's Senator Rand Paul. He is absolutely correct. Welcome back. Third hour of the program. Good to be with you. Dana Lash here. Listen coast to coast. You can also stream the program, Channel 347 DirecTV. So so Zelensky, I'm going to pull this video up. Zelensky is in the Capitol. And there's a video of him going through. It said, though, that he has received a cold reception because support for the ongoing funding of the conflict is waning. He's been meeting with lawmakers, apparently also the president, to drum up support for additional funding. He is asking for more support in addition, according to the Wall Street Journal, to the $100 billion in aid that Congress already approved. And the stories that he's trying to win over skeptics. There's a group of lawmakers that have opposed the $24 billion additional request. And I really doesn't, I mean, lawmakers are saying, how is the counteroffensive going? Are you any closer to victory than you were 6 months ago? I mean, American people deserve to know where their money's going. Because here, I mean, we have our government right now fighting over the budget to not shut down government. And this guy is in the Capitol to demand more money. We've given him hundreds of billions of dollars. A lot of people are saying this is not the time, dude. Not the time. In fact, one letter sent out by lawmakers, Republican lawmakers, they said it's an absurd abdication of congressional responsibility to grant the request without knowing the answer to those questions. You know, like whether or not, like, how is the offensive, how is all this going? This was a letter that it was sent to the administration. A number of Republicans signed it. Chip Roy, J.D. Vance, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Roger Marshall, Mike Braun, Tommy Tuberville, Roger Williams, Clay Hagans, a whole bunch of them. And they're asking, like, what, I mean, these are questions that not even we know. And yet you're still wanting more. And we don't even know these. But see, that's the thing. You're told, well, I guess you just love Putin if you just don't want to give wads of cash over to these lawmakers. I guess you just want, no, I mean, people would like, they would like some answers. It is not a good time at all for that. Not at all. But he's been going through. I saw him watching one video. He was walking through with Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer. It just doesn't look good. Doesn't look good at all. It just is not the time. Not the time. We got this mess at the border. We're told we don't have enough money for the border. We're told we don't have enough money for a number of things, but we can give another more billions to Ukraine. So I don't, he doesn't look too pleased in one of these photos. Republican lawmakers say that any other requests are off the table. Byron Donald said there's no money in the House right now for Ukraine. It's not a good time for him to be here, frankly. That's the reality. I agree. It is not the good time for, it's not a good time for him to be there. Again, they're trying to avert a government shutdown in less than, in fewer than 10 days. Isn't it fewer than 10 at this point? Government shutdown. Have you seen what's going on at the border? Yeah. And he's here asking for more money? No. Chip Roy had tweeted, and I retweeted it as well. He had said, speaking of that, we were citing Bill Malugin. Per Custom and Border Patrol sources, in the last 24 hours alone, just again, I want to say this again so you understand it, how serious this is. In the last 24 hours alone, over 10,000 illegal immigrants were encountered at the border. we are now at the all-time record high levels that we saw in May before the end of Title 42. I think it's actually going to be higher than that. We are going to set a new record. And Chip Roy retweeted it and said, no security, no funding. I agree. And the union representing Border Patrol agents, via Malugin, says that over 100,000 illegal immigrants have been released into the U.S. just in the last 3 weeks alone. The last 3 weeks alone. Given these ICE IDs, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then we have this story how the Defense Department is ramping up resources at the border. They're sending 800 military personnel. 2,500 National Guard members are already there, already called out by the governor. And over the last 24 hours, they've had to report. This is CNN that had to report this. New record we're at the level right before Title 42, but I think it's going to be a new record before this month ends, because we have now over the last 24 hours. So we have met a new record in terms of illegal crossings just in a 24-hour span. So in a 24-hour span, it's been over 8,600. That is a new record, and that's in 24 hours. That's from DHS. Busiest sectors, Del Rio, El Paso, RGV, and then Tucson out in Arizona. Each of them facing thousands of encounters just in the last 24 hours. The facilities are overcrowded. And you have the Maverick County Sheriff, Tom Schmerber, said that he thinks cartels are helping to drive this. He says they're making money. They're making money with the drug. I mean, it is, think about this. The most profitable thing for the cartels right now is not drugs. It's people. You don't have to grow some of the materials for some of these drugs. And just think about how much money you can get from a person. Way more with a drug. With drugs, it's a one-time commercial exchange. With people? Human trafficking? I mean, you could have multiple members of the same family. You know how with the Flores Amendment, when you would go with kids across the border? I mean, I heard it from Border Patrol myself out of their own repeated officials. Various officials said, yeah, there were in various sectors, I might add, they sometimes would see the same kids come across the border with different adults claiming that these were their family, etc. And border towns have lacked the facilities for any of this. They said that they and the federal government they can't do anything. Or they won't do anything. They prevent the state from doing anything. Unreal. It is interesting that after Kamala Harris goes and visits, you know, the triangle countries and goes to South America, and all of a sudden you're getting all these Venezuelans coming in.
KJP is just taking questions on that. I have it queued up for audio if you want to
hear it. Yeah, let's hear some of this, because this has been happening now. Of course, you know, in the White House, it's all the Republicans' fault.
You can tell us about tomorrow's schedule.
I don't have anything to share at this moment on tomorrow's schedule. Certainly, we will have that out for all of you later today. Okay, Peter.
Karina, the administration said yesterday it was granting temporary legal status to hundreds of thousands of Venezuelans. At the same time, the city of Eagle Pass in the Rio Grande has announced a state of emergency because of immigrant surge. Is there any concern that the timing of this Venezuelan TPS announcement might exacerbate what's happening in Eagle Pass right now? And you know, essentially, is this going to make the situation in Eagle Pass worse?
So look, we have worked very hard. The president have worked very hard to implement a strategy when it comes to the border that is humane, safe, and has orderly enforcement. That is something that we have tried to do and worked really hard to do these last 2 years. I do want to add a couple of things that we also announced yesterday, as you just to note, I'm sure you know, which is escalating the fight against smuggling and trafficking by prosecuting an increasing number of smugglers as well as non-citizens who are violating our laws, right? This is an announcement we made yesterday.
Exactly.
Also in deploying hiring 800 new active duty military personnel to support border efforts and get CBP agents and officer out in the field. This is up to this is on top of the 2,500 National Guard personnel also deployed, and expanding the fentanyl expedited removal management. So those are three other pieces that we announced, as well as the Venezuela TPS yesterday. Let's not forget the 24,000 CBP agents and officers along the southwest border. So we have taken steps without the help of Republicans in Congress to do everything that we can to deal with this issue. And let's not forget what the Republicans proposed. Their continuing resolution would lead 800 CBP agents and officers being fired and will result in 50,000 pounds of cocaine, more than 300 pounds of fentanyl.
Democrats are insisting that it all be tied to Ukraine funding and abortion on demand, taxpayer funding, and all of that. That's what KJP so disingenuously doesn't include. They don't want to fund the border. That's the thing. And the money that they went ahead and reluctantly said they'll put in is a pittance. Not even like a percentage of what was requested, what is needed. So no one buys this. No one buys that from her. None of it. I mean, this is orchestrated. This has been orchestrated by the administration. And, you know, I had asked, and this is one of the questions that we'll clip now that comes to mind, because I had asked, I spoke with Attorney General Ken Paxton just last hour. You know, is the Biden administration, I mean, it's like they got to be colluding with the cartels at this point. They're colluding with cartels. Somebody's making money off this in the administration. And I don't put it past the administration that's making money off of China to sell out national security and energy sustainability of the United States to the Chinese, to the Communist Chinese Party. I don't put it past that same damn administration to sell out national security by working with cartels with human trafficking across the border. Absolutely not. I don't doubt it at all. We got a lot more on the way.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this is weird. It says people who consume artificial sweeteners are more likely to suffer from depression. What? They said that the findings are preliminary and experts say there needs to be more data. So it's probably dumb and stupid. But I still think it's kind of interesting. It's a Harvard University and Mass General Brigham Hospital in Massachusetts. They evaluated the diets of more than 30,000 white middle-aged women. 7,000 were clinically diagnosed with depression. That's crazy. But, you know, I would think that like ultra processed foods, like ready to eat stuff, snacks, sauces, things like that, can also be aspartame. Isn't, you know, super healthy, obviously, for you, associated with higher rates. So, I mean, stop your Diet Coke. Can I just say that Diet Coke tastes way better than Coke Zero, which tastes like sadness. So Coke Zero tastes like Pepsi all the way, man. Diet Pepsi or Pepsi Zero all the way, all day long. Just saying. Also, speaking of, like, mental health stuff, back to back here, suppressing negative thoughts may be good for mental health after all, says a study. A study in obviousness? That's like, did somebody spend money on that? San Francisco drug overdose deaths hit a record high, with it being described as a, quote, zombie apocalypse. This is crazy. San Francisco hit another high, 85 fatalities last month alone. Residents say the alarming numbers are more proof that the city has turned into a zombie apocalypse. They said that they saw 84 deaths in August. 66 of them alone were fentanyl. It's the deadliest month for drugs since the city began tracking overdose deaths at the beginning of 2020. And they're going to exceed the fatalities from their record high year of 2020, which was 725. Because it's already over 560 this year. And they expect another 300 by the end of the year. That's horrific. That is absolutely horrific. But hey, you know, we don't need to close the border to fentanyl and stuff like that. Like, So a study says, what age do we reach peak happiness? Does somebody actually read peak? I mean, is that a thing, like peak happiness? They said that after childhood, happiness doesn't peak until age 70. So apparently after age 9, you're miserable, according to a study out of Germany. They looked at the participants, over 460,000 of them. From that group, they looked at specifically 443 samples that described how people felt about themselves during childhood, young adulthood, and eventually old age. And apparently, everybody, like the older people said 70s when they like hit peak happiness. They said that overall, children saw their life satisfaction drop off during adolescence. That's understandable. Declining from age 9 to 16. And then it doesn't increase slightly until the age of 70. And then it drops off again until 96 or you kick the bucket, I guess. And there was little fluctuation between the ages of 9 and 22. Golly, that sounds... What are you going I know for? Why are you over there shaking your head going
I
know?
I mean, I can totally understand where they're coming from. Look, best of my funnest times was when I was a kid.
Well, yeah, but like...
Can't wait till I'm 70.
But like, isn't... I don't know. Just it just seems like nobody... You don't have peak happiness. Like, in between those times are when your kids are born and you're married and all that stuff. Like, no peak happiness? You get dogs. You know, like you get a new car. No peak happiness? Not till 70? Man, like we are all cynics. All right. We got more on the way. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you call it here at the White House when 10,000 people illegally cross the border in a single day?
So what do you call it, Peter, when GOP put forth a wait, no. No, 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 you can't.
Green?
I'm answering. Okay, we're going to move
You're
on.
Answering
no,
the
no,
question
no, no,
okay.
no, 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 we're moving on.
Green,
moving.
Please.
In the back.
Okay. You said you were stopping the flow of the border.
No, no, I tried to answer, Peter, I tried to answer the question. You stopped me.
Let's she did try to answer? Doesn't sound like she did. That's not trying to answer. Jiminy Christmas, I tell you, we're not even through the day yet. Not even past, not even barely past noon. Just so done with this. She sucks. Welcome back to the program. You're very flummoxed curmudgeon here with you, Dana Lash. Listen coast to coast. Check out the YouTube Discover. I bet they're losing it. YouTube Discover all this today. Oh, my gosh. Oh, also find us channel 347 DirecTV. When she didn't answer, he was just getting her on something. That's all that was. He was just getting her on something. He's trying to ask her a question. She doesn't want to answer it. That's amazing to me. You know what? You have the governor of New York who's telling illegal immigrants to not stay in New York, to get out, to stay away. Nothing from the administration on that. You got the governor in Texas saying, can you not enter the country illegally? And the administration loses their minds. There's something wrong here. Obviously. Something wrong. Good heavens. So I noticed that, what is trending here? Is it no more money? No more money for Ukraine trending. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
No more money to Ukraine's trending. I saw that. That's like actually just increased.
Jake Sullivan.
I mean, they had new stuff coming in from Eagle Pass. Golly. And Democrats say, whose fault is it? Oh, it's Republicans' fault. How is it Republicans' fault? How is it again? Because Republicans don't want to fund send money to Ukraine. They don't want to fund abortion on demand, and Democrats only agreed to put like a drop in the bucket of funding that really should be using for border security. I mean, I just can't. Just absolutely asinine. I don't know. I'm glad that the CR is failing. I'm glad that they didn't. I'm glad that it's not going anywhere. I am glad that it's not, because we can't keep doing this. You know, honestly, I think that they're encouraging this and increasing the numbers at the border as a way to punish. This is all orchestrated. Think about it. If, you know, I do believe that the administration is working with the cartels. You can't convince me otherwise. Same administration that is that they're selling out American interest to benefit the Chinese, and you're telling me that you think it's beyond your suspension of disbelief that the administration would also work with the cartels to control, increase, or decrease the numbers at the border to suit them whenever they needed to apply that pressure, because that's what's happening now. Let's increase the numbers at the border. Let's have this deluge come in. Let's make a new record for 24-hour encounters, and then let's use this to apply pressure on Republicans by saying, look, Republicans are contributing to this. They're making this happen. They're the ones who are allowing this to happen because they won't fund government. Like, if you funded government somehow, First off, this is you're talking about appropriations to, and other types of funding that are already, it's like pre-programmed, for the lack of a better way to say it, already pre-programmed in. This is additional funding sources that that they're fighting over, in addition to the NDAA, which is the military authorization that Democrats decided to make political by tying to Ukraine funding and all of this other stuff that normally they've never really tried to politicize it to that extent this late in the game, but they're doing it now for their own purposes. And so I really do believe that that's the purpose of this. That's why we're seeing, it's very convenient that this is all happening right at the time that we're just days away from the government shutting down. It's like, if you either give us what you want, or we're going to go ahead and allow 472,000 Venezuelans to just stay indefinitely in the United States. And hey, we're going to give them all ICE IDs too. That, I mean, it's being used as an abusive tool of coercion. That's exactly what this is. That's what the administration is doing. That's exactly what it is. They've had about an average of 9,000 every day, 9,000 illegal immigrant encounters every single day, meaning they're coming across the border. They've 9,000 a day. And then the administration on top of it is saying, well, we're thinking about making it to where they stay in Arizona and Texas and they don't go anywhere else. Because we didn't really mean all the stuff that we said about sanctuary states. We didn't really mean any of that. It's what they're doing. It's exactly what they're doing. So it's all organized. All of it's organized. And I get angrier and angrier when I see Republicans try to attack other Republicans for standing against the CR. I have a few other things I want to make sure that we get into here. I don't want to pass it by because we had a couple. Oh, here's the other. The president is creating a new office for gun violence prevention. They're announcing that in the Rose Garden on Friday. So what this is, and they're going to probably, I think they're going to use our tax dollars as well. Are they going to have Hunter Biden oversee it? How funny would that be? Are you going to have Hunter oversee it? So there's two things here. First off, this is just a formality at this point, because we already know that anti-Second Amendment groups have been colluding with the administration. We know that for a fact. That came out last year when you had a number of anti-Second Amendment groups like the Everytowns, the Everytowns, the Gun Violence Prevention Center or whatever it's called. You had the Newtown thing. All of these different organizations, there were emails that were published last year showing these groups going through Dick Durbin's office, getting introductions to the CDC, and then pressuring the CDC, which is exactly what the CDC did last year, at the request of these anti-Second Amendment groups. They deleted a study on defensive gun usages. And the reason that the CDC deleted the study on defensive gun uses, this was last year, it was like the biggest Second Amendment story last year, is because these groups said that it hurt and impeded their efforts to pass restrictions. And these are emails that are public out there. You can see them. They were leaked out. So they're already colluding with anti-Second Amendment groups. And think about this, too, just to that point of that story that was last year. If you're having a discussion about firearm ownership and you're considering how lives are saved or improved with firearm ownership, don't you think, just to be transparent and logical and not illiberal, that you would include defensive gun usages, which have been estimated to be between, you know, all the way up, I think the max is like maybe 250,000 a year. That's Gary Kleck, who's a criminal researcher. He's a criminologist in Florida and a lifelong Democrat, I might add. That's why it's not as so easy for anti-gun people to dismiss Gary Kleck, whose methodology has been categorized by his own colleagues of every political stripe as unassailable. It's not very easy to dismiss a guy who's literally been a lifelong Democrat, but he just follows where actual science and math leads. and defensive gun usages, if you're going to have a conversation about firearm ownership and lives saved or saving lives, then you have to include that. But these gun control groups, they wanted that omitted from the CDC, so the CDC deleted it at their request after being introduced through Dick Durbin's office by the administration. So, to this point, they're creating this gun violence, quote unquote, gun violence office that is just a formality because they're already working with these groups. This office is going to be staffed with people from these groups. And they're going to be using taxpayer dollars in the form of grants. Now, this has never worked where it's ever been implemented. In Philly, they had a gun violence prevention, whatever, that actually never doled out the grant money that they said they were going to. They tried this in Colorado and it wasn't successful. Literally everywhere they have tried this, and it's always in blue states or blue cities, it's never worked. And the money never actually gets to the destinations that they claim it's going to go to, if you get my drift. It's never been. In California, they've tried it. In California alone, by the way, you hear this number all the time from California that, oh my gosh, California's homicides have dropped. Not per capita. In fact, California homicides per capita are higher than Texas's. Texas has a slightly higher rate of suicides, more so than California. But California, when it concerns homicides, particularly mass casualty incidents by people who illegally possess firearms and they're using them in felonious activities, that actually is higher. And they also have the most restrictions. So bottom line, none of these proposals have ever worked in any state or city in which they've ever been implemented. And so now they're just doing this as a formality. They're bringing these people that they've been colluding with surreptitiously on board. And they're all the every towns. They're people who know jack squat about firearms or firearm law. And I don't really think that it's going to have that much of a I don't think it's going to be that any more effective than it already is in terms of policy. This is sort of like the cherry on, you know, the icing on the cake for these groups as like a thank you for backing him. But it also signals, because you have Gavin Newsom, who has said that he would like to have an amendment that rolls back the Second Amendment, et cetera, et cetera. There is a definite coordinated push by the left to use this as a major issue going into 2024. Because, as I've told you, they don't have anything else. They literally don't have anything else to run on. They don't have energy to run on. They don't have the economy to run on. What do they have? Nothing. So they have to put in your mind the seed of fear. Oh my gosh, all these law-abiding people with their firearms, et cetera, et cetera. They have to bring up the specter of gun control and the boogeyman out to get you that's a law-abiding gunner. They have to do this whole thing. This is why they're doing this. So just know this is coming. This is coming tomorrow. It's going to be in the Rose Garden. I think it came. Do we nail down the time? Because I think we might just be off air when it starts, especially if President Daddy Showers is running late.
Yeah, it's looking like 3:00 Eastern, but we'll see.
I'll have a piece written up at the newsletter for you over at Substack, which is why you need to sign up. It'll be out there for you, subscribers, chapter and verse. So I'll have that written up for you so you can see it. But I mean, honestly, I mean, this is ridiculous. It's not going to do absolutely anything. Not going to do it. It's a formality, but they've already been working, and the government has already been colluding with these groups to actually omit facts that go in favor of ownership. So, but they don't expect the press to tell you about that.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Make sure you sign up, too, over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. I got good stuff coming out for you on that. And tomorrow is Friday, so we will have made it through the week. I had to play a little Earth, Wind, and Fire because it's 21st of September. You have to.
Yep.
Dana Lasher with you. All right. Tomorrow, one of the things I want to dive into a little bit is this is one of the craziest stories that I've ever read. And I had this as a headline like a couple of weeks ago, but now more information is out about it, and it just got even weirder. How many of you have like the Ring doorbells and stuff? I mean, I think almost everybody has an Amazon account, but how many people have like the Rings and the Alexas and all this, right? A lot of people do. So this guy realized that his name is Jackson. He realized that he lives in Maryland. One day this was back in spring, he got locked out of his Amazon account. He couldn't access anything with Amazon Web Services, which runs everything from, I mean, they run some stuff at the Pentagon, up at the International Space Station. I mean, it's, you know, Jeff Bezos makes more money off of, you know, a lot of stuff than just making just delivering packages. And his home is like pretty much, you know, super automated. He can't, I mean, he had to turn on his lights manually. He was locked out of everything. And he soon discovered that the reason that he was locked out is because Amazon suspended his account. And the reason that Amazon suspended his account is because they said a black delivery driver had heard a racist remark from his video doorbell. Now, this blew Jackson's mind because no one was home when this driver, the delivery driver, showed up. Furthermore, Jackson was flabbergasted because he is black and his family are black. But that didn't matter because the delivery driver said, I heard a racist remark. And without even contacting Jackson, they suspended all of his stuff. He had to prove that, A, they weren't home, that, B, because the Ring doorbell, you can select, like, you know, it to say things for you. And when their family isn't home, his doorbell has an automated response and it says, quote, excuse me, can I help you? That's what it says. That's what the delivery driver heard and then falsely accused that guy, the homeowner, who is black, his family are black, of saying something racist. So they had, I mean, he lost access to all this stuff that he pays to have access to, right? They had to prove all this stuff, like they, you know, they weren't home and they weren't doing all of this. But what it, I think, shows, too, is that this is has gotten so dystopian that now all number one, all you have to do is be accused of something. Two, the court of public opinion also includes tech companies that can shut you out of things. And three, I mean, who really owns your stuff? Right? So this is something to think of. I'm going to put this story in your prep for you subscribers over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. The link is in all the profiles on my bio and up on Facebook as well. Because you got to, I want you to be familiar with the story before we deep dive on it tomorrow. All right, today in stupidity came.
All right, it's our National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, talking about the funding for Ukraine. He wants it to go beyond this CR talk. He needs more money. It can't end. Listen to what he says here.
Resources from the Congress on October 1st to be able to ensure that there's no disruption in the supply of funding to Ukraine.
What would there be a disruption if we pass? What date would there be a disruption given the fears about this not passing?
Well, I mean, there's a sliding scale of disruption, but the day after the funds lapse or run out at the end of the fiscal year,
oh my gosh,
there would be a break if we do not get.
They literally don't care. They care only about Ukraine. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. No, no thanks. Folks, we've made it through the week. Tomorrow's Friday. I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. Sign up for the newsletter. Find us on Facebook and YouTube. Like and subscribe. Have a great night.